Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 2. And we'll begin in the 8th verse there. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you, and you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came and with haste found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would just take this time and, Lord, that you would use it in our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Teach us of Jesus. And we thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas brings a lot of moving around and all kinds of people can come and go. You may have people at your house at Christmas that you only see every now and then, but they come. And when Jesus was born, it was kind of like that. There were some people that came and that went. Important people, well, not on the world standards, but to us, yes. There were people that did not see Jesus at his birth, but saw him later. There was Anna and Simeon. They represented the spiritual-minded people, people that they stayed in the temple and they worshiped God all the time and they were looking for the Messiah and they got a chance to see the baby Jesus. Oh, how special that time was. There was the wise men. Now, when you see pictures of the Nativity, you always see the wise men there, but guess what? They weren't there. It took them a while. They came from the east. They had a ways to go. And so they showed up a little later in the young child's life. But the wise men came. And the wise men tell us that educated people rejoiced at the coming of Jesus and understood what a message this was from God. And then closer to the birth. In fact, right after the birth, there came the shepherds. Now, the shepherds represent to us, everyday folks, common people, people that are workers, people that have a part in society but may not be looked upon greatly by society. The life of a shepherd was a difficult life. It was sometimes a lonely life. In the social world, they weren't the guys that got invited to parties. Well, they had to do a lot of things with the sheep to keep the sheep healthy. They had to deal with keeping them clean, and they had to deal with a lot of filth. And so they weren't seen as clean. In fact, shepherds were known as the unclean. Now, we know lepers were called unclean because of illness. The shepherds were called unclean because they were dirty. they were unclean. And so they were barred from the temple. They were they were not allowed to do many things. You know, if you had a court case and a shepherd was a witness, they couldn't give testimony because people didn't listen to shepherds a whole lot. A shepherd was not outcast because they were needed. Somebody needed to tend the sheep. But in the day-to-day life, they were kind of outcast. If you wanted to be where things were happening, you probably wouldn't go to the shepherds. You would go to Rome. In Rome, where the leaders came and political matters were solved. It was a happening place. Or you would go to Athens. Athens is where the philosophers would come and they would espouse great intellectual matters for mankind. Or you would go to Jerusalem, where the religious crowd was, and you would go to the temple and you would listen to the rabbis. Sometimes what we think is important on the earth is not that important, really. And some things that heaven believes is important, we don't always take note of as we should. When Jesus was born, these outcasts, these social pariah, if you will, these people on the lower echelons of society were in the middle of nowhere. Some people say, well, they were right there at Bethlehem, but my friend, Bethlehem was a very small community. They were outside of Bethlehem. They weren't in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a good piece from Jerusalem. Just try to walk it. It's a long way. And so they were out in the fields. They were out away from everyone else, and they were separated. These lowly shepherds had a job that was respected at this time by no one. They were out in the fields in the middle of nowhere, and basically they were doing nothing. When something happened that would elevate their lives to glory and which would ultimately be known around the world for ages. We see the shepherds' work. Their work was not respected at the moment, but a lot of important people happened to be shepherds. They might be outcasts, but not all shepherds were always outcasts. Remember Moses. Moses spent a lot of time as a shepherd. It was Moses that God would allow to lead the people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea on dry ground. He would have to shepherd 2 million Jews in the wilderness. He learned a lot being a shepherd of sheep. Moses certainly was lifted up in the Jewish world. David was a shepherd boy. David stayed with the sheep. The rest of the family did other things. When they came to find a king, they didn't look for David. They left David out because he was just tending sheep. But David was the one that they really wanted. That David was the one that they desired. They didn't know it. God trained David, keeping sheep, to be able to lead Israel and be their greatest king. Keeping sheep was when David would write Psalms, and the 23rd Psalm that we cherish, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As he tended the sheep, as he did everything he could for the sheep so that the sheep would be safe, he thought of how much our Lord God takes care of us so that we would be safe. Sheep are a reminder of man's problem. Sheep are a reminder of sin. In Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Sheep are not the most beautiful of animals. Oh yes, some people call them cute, and at times maybe they are. They are hard-headed. So we know sheep are like Baptists. A lot of times, sheep have to have help just to survive. This shows us really what sin has done in the human race. What do you know about sheep? Sheep are Well, let's be honest. Sheep are not the wisest animal in the barnyard. They can be called dumb. You know, it reminds us of the dumbness of us choosing against God. The ignorance of choosing sin and allowing sin to come into our life. You know, people are easily led by others into sin. And, you know, sheep are easily led. They follow one another. In fact, if you have a group of sheep and you have them moving around in an area, you will see grooves cut into the area, paths cut. It looked like paths, but actually they are trails that have been cut by the sheep as they eat all the grass in that area, one behind the other, and don't stray from that path. Because sheep like to follow one another. Where there are many sheep, there are many ruts. Sheep follow one another, and in a downward pattern, people follow one another away from God. And people follow one another into sinful patterns. A lost man once said, I'm not a Christian because I like to think for myself. But in reality, people that don't choose Jesus don't think for themselves. They're often influenced by others, and they often follow the patterns of others. You know, following your peers can be a good thing if they're the right peers. But often they follow us down the wrong path. We live in a day that looks out for what the media says. We have politicians that wait till they see what the polls rely on. You know, they rely on the polls and what the polls say. We have people that follow other people and call themselves leaders. We see this in speech. You know, we have a speech pattern that is very, very sad in America. I don't know if you've noticed, but in recent years, profanity has become common ground for most people. And people have followed others' speech patterns into a downward spiral. You know, profanity is a running off of the mouth that's caught by following others. Have you ever wanted just to hold up a sign? You hear these people saying these things, you just want to hold up a sign and that says, why don't you learn the English language so you can express yourself without lowering your communication to that of a barbarian? They wouldn't understand it. Profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully and failing. You know, they call it adult language. It's not adult language, it's immature language. And you know, it's language that people are not forced to use. And when I say it's the act of a feeble mind, I understand we have people in high office that use low language. Maybe that tells us they shouldn't be in the positions they're in. It's not the only place where people follow others. The move of alcohol across our land is largely caught. People follow others that drink to drink. And so it's called social drinking, but it's actually antisocial. There is probably not one thing that has caused as much damage to lives and families as alcohol. And yet it's become so much a part of our financial world, it is touted and it is guarded. All we like sheep have gone astray. Drug use, oh my. Fentanyl, other medications, other drugs are generally passed from person to person, often used in a party setting, and then people get hooked and they can't get away. Sheep are dumb. Well, people can be dumb too. People are dumb about spiritual things. People can talk about sports. Oh my. People can talk about politics. all the joy we've had here in the politics through this election season. People can talk about a lot of things, but you know, they know very little about God, and they know very little about heaven, and they know very little about what Jesus would have them do, and they know very little about salvation. Sheep are directionally challenged. They can get lost very easily. Yeah, a sheep can find its way back home sometimes, but not all the time. They nibble little pieces of grass, and then they go to the next little piece of grass. They only see the piece of grass that's in front of them. They don't look around for anything else. Other sheep are behind them. They keep going, and whoops, they look up, and they don't know where they are. So once lost, sheep often will stay lost unless someone comes and gets them. You know, dogs can find their way home. Horses can find their way home. Pigs can find their way home. Not so much with sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. Our desire to go our own way, to ignore God's way, wrecks our lives. There's a way that seems right to a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof is the way of death. So we've accomplished the fact of understanding that sheep are dumb, sheep are directionless, sheep are defenseless. I mean, think about it. Dogs bite, cats scratch, lions roar, skunks, well, you know what skunks do. Sheep go, bah. They're not very scary. You know, man cannot defend himself against the devil's wiles. Man cannot defend himself. Listen, if you go on your own before the judgment seat, you will have no defense. If you carry your own sin into judgment, judgment will be a bad situation for you. The Bible says that Jesus is a shepherd. And so we think sheep need a lot of help. They need a shepherd. And so we need a lot of help. We need a shepherd. It is refreshing for me to think of my Lord Jesus caring enough for me to want to shepherd me, to want to protect me. The Bible drives this home. In John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13, he's the great shepherd. In 1 Peter 5:4, he is the chief shepherd. Every sheep needs a shepherd, and every person needs a Savior. That Savior is our shepherd, and his name is Jesus. Our shepherd Jesus became a lamb. Now, it's impossible to think of a shepherd wanting to be a sheep. And yet, Jesus became a lamb. In John 1:29, it says, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In that, a lamb is a picture of what Jesus came to do. Lambs were used for sacrifice. In the covenant, there was only one way to have forgiveness of sin, and that was for there to be a blood sacrifice. A lamb was the preferred sacrifice. A lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish, a perfect lamb whose blood would be poured out so that that sin couldn't be really put away. It could be pushed forward toward the cross. For the Bible is very clear that the blood of lambs and oxen cannot forgive sin. Oh, but the Messiah would come and he would offer his blood on Calvary's cross, and that would be the forgiveness of our sin. But there was that symbolizing of the blood of Jesus in the lamb's sacrifice. Throughout the Bible, there is a search for the lamb. In Genesis 22, remember Abraham and Isaac, they go up a mountain. Did you know that was the same mountain that Jesus was crucified on? They go up a mountain, and Isaac says, Hey, Dad, Here's the wood and here's the fire, but where is the lamb? Every time an animal was sacrificed on the altar, there was the question, where is the lamb? Hebrews makes it clear that the lamb sacrifice was not enough, so they were looking for another lamb. These were just a picture of what Jesus would do. The first question of the Old Testament regarding sheep is, where is the lamb? The first time the lamb is mentioned in the New Testament, this is not a coincidence, first is in John 1:29, and what is that statement? Behold the lamb. All the time they're looking for the perfect lamb that God would give, and in John 1 we find, behold the lamb, Jesus is the lamb that you've been looking for. He's the good shepherd that became a lamb to sacrifice himself for the other sheep, to die for us. As we approach Christmas, these shepherds, by their work, remind us of our own sinfulness, and they remind us of our need for a Savior, and they remind us that the Savior would be a gift for the world. But we also see the shepherds wonder in verse 9. The Bible says, the angels of the Lord came unto them. An angel came and told them what was going to come. The angels are being really busy, have been to Joseph, have been to Mary, have been to Zacharias, and now the angel comes to the shepherd. The Bible says, the glory of the Lord showed round about them. When the angel showed up, there was glory. It was glory that came from God. It wasn't the angel's glory, it was God's glory. In the Old Testament, the glory was seen on a cloud. It was the glory cloud that went before the Israelites in the wilderness that protected them from before and from behind. And so the glory cloud would come, and the glory came to rest upon the Holy of Holies. And there came a time when Israel said no to God, and the glory left. And so 400 years, the glory is gone from the earth. Until these angels came to this hillside, and the glory of the Lord comes back. And the lowly shepherds behold the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. The angels were there. The glory was there. There was one angel, then there was a whole group of angels. Actually, there was an army of angels. And we want to say they were singing, and they weren't singing because the Bible never says an angel sings. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying the Bible never says that they do. The Bible says they were saying, glory to God in the highest. What did the angel say first? Fear not. The Bible says that when they saw the angel, they were sore afraid. I would be sore from running. A scary thing to see an angel when you don't know what an angel is and you've never seen one before and you certainly didn't expect to see one. So they say, fear not. Everywhere you touch the Christmas story, God's telling us, fear not, don't be afraid. Christmas is the good news. You don't have to be afraid in life. You can have hope. You can have peace. You can have trust. God is there for you. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings, that's the gospel, the good news. There's good news to all people because a Savior has been born. Good news to all people. There are some that say that Jesus only came for a certain few, a select group. Let me tell you, the Bible says He came for all people. And so the angels reveal that it will be for all people. And that all people includes you. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior and you will reach out to Jesus, if you will accept Him as your Savior and Lord, this holiday season will become a holy season and you will be blessed for all time. About that time, the Bible says in verse 13 that the multitude shows up, the army shows up, and there's just glory all around. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The birth of Jesus touches heaven and it touches earth. There's glory to God in the highest, and there is peace on earth. Everywhere you look, you can see something where there is glory. God's glory is everywhere. You just have to open your eyes. God has given his Savior, and in that giving of the Savior, there was wonder. There's still wonder. You know, I love Christmas because there is a sparkle in people that you don't see all year round. I don't know why you don't see it, but you don't. There is a happiness. There is a greeting. There is an expectation. There is a wonder. Well, the true wonder is found in Jesus. And when you find the true wonder, hey, it doesn't have to go away when the calendar changes. So we find the shepherd's wonder, and then we see the shepherd's witness. They hear this wonderful news, and they say, let's go, in verse 15. They came with haste. They saw Jesus. The angel said, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, I know we are used to seeing these little wooden mangers, you know, made, and that looks nice, but that really is not a manger. In Israel, there are stones everywhere. There are not trees everywhere. And so they made their feeding troughs out of stone. Now, there were bigger ones and smaller ones, but in a manger, there would be a feeding trough. It's made of stone. And you can go to where they believe the manger actually was, and you can see the stone there that was the manger where Jesus would have laid. They wrapped him in swaddling cloths. And you know, the angel said, you will find the babe, this will be a sign unto you, you'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. It wasn't a surprise to see a baby lying somewhere. People had babies all the time. But you didn't see babies wrapped up in a swaddling cloths in a manger. It wasn't a common place to see them. And so when they went and they saw, they knew that what the angel said is true. They understand that they are beholding the promise of God. Here God had said he would send a Savior all through the years. Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? Where is the Lamb? They go to the manger and there he is. The God of the universe in a lowly manger. God had sent him for everyone, even for shepherds, and if for shepherds, then for everybody else. God, who held the world in his arms, is now in the arms of Mary. In verse 16, after they saw Jesus, they spread the word. They had been to the cradle. Now they had to tell it. They had been to the manger. Now they have a message. And they go and they tell everybody they see. The first evangelists that we know of after the birth of Jesus were these shepherds. Shepherds which maybe nobody would listen to, that now everybody's listening to, because they have a message to tell. Think of the coming of Jesus, the shepherds outcast alone, and God sending his message to them so that God could send his message to us. The Christmas story is for you. Now, this Christmas, I don't know what you want for Christmas. Maybe you've told somebody and maybe you'll get it. Maybe you won't. I don't really know. Hope you get whatever you want. But let me tell you what you need. You need the first Christmas gift. You need Jesus. You need him in your heart. You need him in your life. You need to live by following Jesus. You need to put him first, not second or third. If you will let the Lord Jesus be Lord of your life, and listen, I know if you're lost, you don't have Jesus, you need to come to Jesus today, ask Jesus to come into your heart. We'll be excited that that happens. But if you are saved and you're not following him, the only way you have God's glory in your life is to follow Jesus, and you need to turn from your sin, turn back to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, and allow the glory to fall. God's got a plan for you. God had a plan for the shepherds. Same plan. Tell the world, Jesus has come, and Jesus can save. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for these shepherds, Father, and the message you brought to them and the message you shared through them. Father, I pray that we'd get the message. For those here that do not know Jesus, that today would be the day they would be willing just to come forward and say, I want Jesus, that they might be saved, that they might have the true Christmas. For believers, Father, oh Lord, I am so sorry that we get away from you, but Father, let this be a day to come back, a day to put you first, a day to have your way in our lives. Guide us to decisions as well as others. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come as we sing?